All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Matty Juice. What is going on, everyone? Episode 49, closing in on the 1 year mark, Tommy, of the Fresh Juice podcast, and one of many years. We'll be doing this well into our 80s, and I'm very excited.
If we do this into our 80s, what else would you expect? Because that's what we're setting out to do. Holy smokes. We do have a great episode for you all this week. We are reviewing Crypt Custodian, a new Zelda-like action platformer. Very exciting stuff. We'll see if we liked it, though. A lot of people are enjoying this game, but did we? Is the main question. So we're going to jump into that, but, you know we got to catch up. What's going on, buddy? How you been?
Yeah, been good. Labor Day weekend, so I know we saw each other over the weekend for the family party, which is always good. Played a little volleyball, had a good time, a little ramp shot action. Today, Labor Day, just kind of relaxed today. Didn't do too much, to be honest, which was kind of nice. Just played a little video games, just hung out a bit, went for a walk, kind of chill Labor Day. And just getting ready for the work week. Honestly, my Maria's getting ready to go back to school. She's a teacher, so that's starting tomorrow. So the dread is setting in. And other than that, I mean, not too much going on. I know we watched Hunt for the Wilder People. Ooh. I know that's something that's been brought up before on the pod. I think it was one of your rec rooms at one point.
Maybe.
So watch that movie. Great movie. Highly recommend it to people out there if you're looking for a laugh. So but other than that, hasn't been too much going on. What about you, Tommy?
Yeah, a lot of the same. Last week, I mean we did all go over to our friend Bags's house to watch Rings of Power, the first three episodes, which we'll see how this season goes. I like the first season. This season, some of the storylines I'm realizing I don't care about so much. I'd rather just focus on some of the other storylines. But unfortunately, that's what happens when you have shows like this with like so many different characters doing so many different things that you just sometimes have to pay attention to some storylines that maybe don't matter right now, but will all culminate at the end to be one big thing. So you have to pay attention. So it should be interesting. Actually, I need to find out when the new episodes drop. I forget what day that is, but I will be keeping up with it. I want to say Sunday, but I don't think it is. It's probably
I think it might be Thursday. Yeah. I'm thinking, but I'm not too sure either. Yeah, I haven't looked into that.
I guess we'll have to find out. But Friday, I went to the dentist. That was cool. Actually, it wasn't cool. I don't like the dentist. That was all right. And then Saturday, I worked, which kind of sucked, but I did a favor for someone, and then family party, and then today mowed the lawn, which was fun.
Nice.
Mowed the lawn. I also moved a whole tree last week. That was fun. That was that we had to chop down in the yard. That was awesome. I loved moving it. And it definitely I definitely didn't put it illegally in the woods next to my house. If anybody asks, that didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Yep. Just blends in. Which tree was it? No one knows.
the woods. It's wood. Ugh. anyway. But that's really what's been going on in my life. This week's gonna be a short week for me. Work 2 days and then head to Tampa for the Rosetta World premiere for Flesh and Blood, the card game that I play. Very excited for that. It's going to be a fun weekend. Never been to Tampa. Been to a lot of places in Florida. Tampa's not one of them. I'll be able to once and for all determine that I really hate Florida if I don't like Tampa, because I'm not a huge fan of the rest of it, folks. I'll be honest with you. But we'll see. But we do have some news. Did you know that?
I didn't. Tell me the news. Tell everybody the news.
we got Discord. Oh my God.
What?
We got Discord. You should check it out. It's in the show notes, and it's a great way to kind of connect with us and other juice heads in the world. check that out. And yeah, I mean, it's awesome, right? I mean, I think it's great.
Awesome. It is. It's great. You know, you guys submit your listener questions in there. We always appreciate that. You guys are always posting game recommendations and stuff too. You know, we've definitely reviewed games that have been recommended from the Discord. So it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be if you're a fan of the show.
It really is. And I don't know. I never got Discord, right? Like I had it, right? But I never understood it. Like I didn't understand the power of it until I got a Discord for my other podcast. And I was like, oh, this is such a great community tool. And, you know, we have one too. I mean, so there you go. It's pretty cool, but it was pretty light news week, kind of holiday week, end of the summer. You know, we're probably going to get a lot more exciting stuff as we get closer to the holiday season, but I figure it'd be fun to kind of each talk about some games we really enjoyed this summer and perhaps some stuff that maybe we didn't even review that people can, check out. You know, now that perhaps people are going back to school or work or something like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, a lot of great games that we've reviewed, you know, coming to mind, like some stuff I'm looking at in my Steam here, like Questmaster. Really enjoyed playing Questmaster. That was a cool one. They've actually made some recent updates too. For those who don't know, it's basically a Zelda dungeon builder, which is pretty sweet. And they just came out with like some new updates, some new bosses, you know, and a little bit more variety into the dungeon. So that was a good one, for sure. Also, I got to shout out Haunty, you know, that was a game that really kind of came out of nowhere. Kind of, you know, the game this week also kind of gave me a little bit of Haunty vibes. Well, we could talk about that. So another great one, you know, Angerfoot. We honestly, I think the most of the summer we had a pretty strong kind of showing. There were only a few duds here and there, you know, from our, you know, point of view, but I would say overall pretty strong showing. But yeah, for me, I mean, I think Questmaster and like Haunty were kind of like shining pretty strong, a little, you know, Ember Ward as well. Yeah, but as far as, you know, I'll think about the games I played outside the podcast, but as far as the ones we did in the podcast, those are some bangers right there.
Yeah, they really were. Big fan of Haunty. Ember Ward, definitely, you know, really enjoyed that Hollow Survivors prologue, which, to be honest, they'll come up again later in the episode. Funny enough, a little teaser for you, foreshadowing. And Preserve was honestly such a pleasant surprise and like a good summer chill game, which was neat. Some games that I've played this summer, that perhaps didn't come out this summer, but I did play a lot of Cobalt Core, which was a deck builder roguelike. I played Knock on the Coffin Lid. I enjoyed that. I'm still kind of jumping into more of that. That just came out. And I play a lot of Wild Frost. We talked about that. The He Is Coming demo. He is what? Yeah. He is coming. that one was pretty cool. And honestly, I played this game called Thronefall that was really, really fun. I would definitely recommend checking out Thronefall. And then I did finally jump into Noita, which was on sale during the Summer Game Fest, Summer Sale Fest, Steam Summer Sale, whatever it was. I got it. And it was fun. And another one I enjoyed was Heretic's Fork, another roguelike deck builder slash tower defense game that was like a lot of fun. So some really great games that have been played this summer.
And you were hitting up the demos this summer too. I mean, big summer for demos in general, but I felt like every time I talked to you, they're like, oh, I tried out this new demo. Like that's the way to do it, folks.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Demos are huge. And like even a demo like He Is Coming, right? That demo itself is picking up a lot of steam on Steam and like YouTube and stuff like that. Like I get fed videos of people saying like this roguelike auto battler is insane. I can't wait for it to come out. And it's like a one person development team too. So it's like super exciting stuff like that to just kind of find those little gems and hopefully, review the full release whenever it comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I didn't really get into too many demos. I mean, I'm kind of looking at my games that I played outside the podcast that didn't really come out. I mean, most of my time was in Once Human. That came out in July. But I also played another Crab's Treasure. That was like April, end of April, beginning of May, you know, almost getting into summer there, kind of still spring. But and then, yeah, Noita, I have to play more of. Like, I bought it, I think, when you did as well. And played a bit of it, but I definitely got to play some more of it because it is definitely a game with like just a ton of content, so much to do. So I got to dedicate some time to that. And then I know also on the cusp of the summer, there was Animal Well as yes. well. You know, that was in May. So that was definitely a great one. And we're going to do at the end of the year, too. We'll do like a recap. You know, we always talk about our best game of the month. Right. So we'll take a look at like our favorite games that we reviewed throughout the year. And then we'll figure out what is our game of the year. You know, that should be an interesting conversation. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough combo.
It's going to be tough, but maybe also not so tough. Like, at least for me.
Yeah, I think I can guess what your game of the year is.
Yeah.
But we'll wait.
We'll see. We'll wait. Yeah. You know, listen, we got a couple more months of games mm-hmm. to play. And, you know, some real bangers looking to come out soon. So we'll see. But yeah. Not a lot of news this week. Figure we just talk about some games that we enjoyed this summer. If any of those pique your interest, check them out. We reviewed some of them. Some of them are just up on the old Steam, and you can check those out. But we got to talk about this game. We got to talk about Crypt Custodian, which, as I said earlier, Zelda-like Metroidvania action platformer. It's blending a lot of genres into a pretty streamlined game, and we'll talk about how it's held. But yeah, you play as the charming and yet mischievous cat named Pluto, who's sentenced to the Afterworld's to be the Afterworld's janitor, and you have to go through and you know, you hang out with other doomed ghosts and stuff like that. You just kind of explore this underworld in what seems to be a pretty vast, you know, world to explore and do a lot of stuff, which I'm going to save for the actual review. But it is developed by Kyle Thompson, and I believe the sound was done by
I think Declan? His brother?
Yeah. Declan Thompson? That could be totally wrong. Another Thompson. And it's published by Kyle Thompson himself, Top Hat Studios, Inc., and H2 Interactive Limited, and it is out on Steam and Switch. It might be out on more platforms.
Was trying to look into it. It was hard to find out everything it was on. I only found like listings for Steam and Switch when I Googled it, but it could be more. There could be more.
There very well could be. Now, it is $19.99 for this game, but it is 15% off until September 10th. And that's on Steam. I think there was a sale on it for Switch as well, which is what I played it on. And we did not get keys for this game. We paid. And yeah, let's get into it. Do you want to start with the gameplay?
I feel like I always Yeah, sure. So, you know, like Tommy mentioned, it's a Metroidvania. It's kind of got this like isometric view, though, to it. Rather than it being kind of like a platformer, which I think is like what we're kind of used to typically with like Metroidvanias. And honestly, you know, we'll get into the story because the story plays a lot into like the gameplay and kind of what you're doing. But I thought exploration in the game was pretty great. They give you obviously a map that's pretty easy to read. Sometimes you get in these Metroidvanias and like, it's tough. Like I know Animal Well, I'd struggle. I'd be like, where am I on this thing? Everything kind of looks similar. You know, and you can leave markings and things like that. So I thought map was great in the game, made exploration a lot easier. It's not one of those kind of games where I felt like there was a ton of exploration. I was like, okay, I can confidently say I've cleared out this area based on what the map is showing. So I can just kind of leave. It never really felt like at least in like a game like Animal Well, I was like, there could be secrets all over here that open up this map. It's not really one of those games to me where like I was kind of stumbling across a lot of different secrets in the game, which is fine, but it also just makes it you a little bit more confident when you're exploring. You have weapon. Your weapon is a broom. Obviously, you're a custodian, so you're like Tommy mentioned, you're sentenced to kind of be the janitor of the afterlife, along with a bunch of other kind of afterlife beings that you come across. Everybody's cleaning up this part of the afterlife. So your weapon is a broom, but you do have some things called badges, as well as some things called special attacks. So badges are basically like kind of your passive sort of abilities. In a way, you can have a few different things, such as like when you have low health, like you deal more damage, or you can have something that kind of orbits around you and deals damage to enemies as they get closer. So kind of stuff like that. And then you get into your special attacks. That is basically, there's a set amount of those that you can select. I think it's like maybe 10 that you can unlock throughout the entire game. And basically, as you defeat enemies in the game, you're going to be building up your kind of special attack sort of power up, and then you go ahead and use it. So the first one you get is just kind of like what you would almost expect in like games like this, where it's just kind of this spin attack, right? That kind of Zelda spin attack. But then you start to unlock more of them, some more interesting ones. And then there's even one where I didn't even get to it, but apparently it just shoots out like two random special attacks, so it kind of makes it like pretty fun. I was watching some videos of that because I just wanted to see kind of what else was able to be unlocked, because I put a few hours into the game but didn't get to beat it. I believe it is about a 10-hour game too, so coming from a solo dev, that's pretty solid, I'd say. I had a good amount of time, good amount of fun exploring with the combat. I thought the combat was simple, but it was overall still pretty engaging. I never felt like I was bored with the combat. And then, you do have a dodge, you jump. So that's kind of like how you can vary up, your different moves. You get a dash, you get, there's a few kind of basic things that you end up unlocking. And then just the last two things I've noted here that are just cool about the gameplay is you do unlock a boss rush mode, which is kind of sweet. So the whatever bosses you kind of encounter in the main story will unlock then in the boss rush mode that you can do on the main menu. So that was cool. You unlocked that pretty early on. And then the other thing was there's a shop in the game where, you can buy different upgrades, badges, special attacks, things like that. But then there's also a jukebox, which is always fun. You can find discs in the world. So kind of adding to that, successful exploration part of the game, where you might not know what you're going to find, but then you find like a CD and you're like, oh, this is cool. I can change like the soundtrack of while I'm playing, it's pretty sweet. But really what I thought was great is that you can buy like location markers on your map. So if you explore an area and maybe, you didn't explore everything, you can go buy for a certain amount of the credits. You're basically collecting garbage since you're a custodian. That's what the currency is. So you can buy a location for an item that you missed in an area that you've been to. So that's really cool, because we all know it can get pretty annoying as you get into like the later stages of games like this, where you're like, I'm missing one item. I have no idea where this is. Mm-hmm. You can actually just go buy that marker. So that's a really cool idea. And then you can also do it for like the next leg of the story, so you can know, okay, I need to head this general direction, and then I will progress the story. So those two little things right there, I think every Metroidvania should have. I don't care how hardcore you want your Metroidvania to be, I think those should always be at least options for the people that just don't want to run around aimlessly. I know Animal Well, I loved Animal Well, but I spent a lot of time going back into the same rooms trying to figure out where I was supposed to go. Overall with the gameplay for this, I really enjoyed it. It's not the most complex sort of gameplay, but I thought it was rewarding enough for me to want to continue playing it. That's how I was feeling about it, Tom. What about you?
Yeah, so I hopped into this and it was definitely reminding me of a lot of games that I played, not only story-wise, which we'll get to, but certainly gameplay-wise, things like Tunic, which is all like Zelda-like stuff, and then you have your Metroidvania stuff as well, and then like Death's Door and the other isometric top-down games. So initially when I'm playing it, right, I'm going through and I'm having a good time, and all right, I'm like, this is not reinventing the wheel, really, and which is totally fine, but I was like, this has been done, this is doing it well, and I'm running around and I'm doing doing my thing, and then I get to explore more. And then when I kind of feel the Metroidvania aspect, like, creep into this, that's when I was like, oh, okay, all right, this is a little bit different, it's a little bit different. And I do think there is some backtrack exploration for, because you can also get photos, pictures of like, your memories and stuff like that, because you don't really remember a whole lot about your life, and that kind of plays into your the story a little bit. But then the special attack / upgrade system kind of comes into play, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. You get to customize however you want Pluto to be in this game, and how you want to attack these different enemies, and then like how you want to combine different upgrades and stuff like that, which I thought was like really, really cool. Now, you do have to get extra skill points if you want to start stacking these upgrades, which is a great reason for you to keep grinding as well as exploring and doing the main story. So, like, you can be a kind of a completionist, which I do like that kind of aspect as well. You know, funny enough, I recently started replaying Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow, which had this really cool system. Like, when you killed an enemy, you always had a chance to get their soul. And their soul would give you, like, an attack or, like, something that you can equip. So this doesn't have that, but the idea of having a Metroidvania where I can collect different kinds of abilities to use and kind of customize it to however I want. And also, certain boss fights might need, or not need, but might be easier if I use this ability, which is not necessarily strong as you're going through the main story, but it's pretty good against this boss. I love that kind of stuff. So that was cool. And then the real cherry on top, the thing that really sold me on this game as kind of being a unique experience, was you run into these totems or like statues or whatever, and they'll be like, here's a challenge, you know? Yeah. And you're like, okay, what's the challenge? And then maybe it's like, you have to be cursed for 15 enemies. And the curse is, whenever you kill an enemy, they explode and try to deal damage to you. But that doesn't go away until you kill 15 enemies. And then at the end of that, you'll get like a bonus, which, like, the you know, I like playing high risk stuff. So I was like, oh, I want to do all these curses. I mean, yeah. I don't think I only got one. Like, I actually completed one of the challenges or whatever. But I love that. That is just such a cool little thing. It plays into the world that's built here. It's like, nothing really matters because you're dead. It's in the afterlife. And it was like, yeah, you can try to do this and maybe it'll work out. Maybe you'll get some extra bonuses here, whether it's extra trash or an extra life on your health bar or whatever. So that was really, really cool to me. I love stuff like that where it's like, here's a negative effect for a little bit for possibly a reward later down the road. So I like that kind of stuff. And the fact that this game had that, I was just like, that is just such a simple thing to add to a game like this that I think it really just adds to the whole experience. I think it could get stale a little bit if it was just running around smashing stuff, right? But that adds like a different layer because you're like, oh, I want to get cooler upgrades and I want to be able to stack upgrades, but you know, maybe I want to do it sooner than just grinding. You know, maybe I gotta do this challenge. So really enjoyed the gameplay here. It's a really just well-made Zelda like Metroidvania, whatever you want to call it. The controls are really smooth, seamless. The combat is interesting. You know, there is, you know, you have the dodge mechanic, the dodge roll, which is a good time. And then other than that, it's a good experience gameplay wise. But I do think the story is really, you know, something that I don't know if this is where it shines, but it definitely lends itself to what you're doing. So you're playing this cat that died and you kind of go to, you do the tutorial and then you go to the main person that's like the gatekeeper of the palace, probably like their version of heaven or whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, that's so sad. You were a stray cat and you lost your family. yada, yada, yada. And then this person, Kendra, I believe the name is, goes, oh, wait, during the tutorial, you smashed a bunch of my statues. You are therefore banned from the palace, and you must be a janitor for the rest of your life in the afterlife. So that's the setup to the story. It's not really much of a spoiler. It happens pretty quickly. And then you kind of get thrown into this pretty cool world, right? Where it's, you know, there's enemies running around for whatever reason, but you're in the afterlife and you're cleaning stuff up. And it's really, the vibe is relaxing somehow, you know, even though like you're supposed to be dead, but like the other characters you meet are like so full of life and like fit into this world so well that you're just like, this is a really well thought out world that was built for this game. And
yeah,
I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And like the idea that there's something about like not really having the high stakes of like, oh, if I die or whatever, like, you know, now obviously it's a video game, so like we always have extra lives, right? But like the fact that like when you die, you just go back to the last save point, and you got to backtrack quite a bit or whatever, but the save point, it might be able to like add an extra upgrade or whatever. That is a nice little gameplay loop where the vibe of you getting killed doesn't, it's just like, oh, go back. Like you screwed up. Yeah. You got to start over, whatever, who cares. And I kind of like that. And we've seen this in quite a few games now, right? This is where it comes in. This is not the most unique story, right? We saw in Haunty. I can think of multiple games where you are somebody that is dead and now are doing your story, right? And I think that's totally fine. It's a good trope. I enjoy that trope. Kind of a cool way to explore who that character is by perhaps reminiscing on the life or trying to discover what your life was like. Who was I in my real life? We saw a lot of that in Haunty, to be honest, but we see a lot of that in this as well. So it's a nice, cute little story, and you know, cats are cute, right? So and like there's a lot of frogs in the world as well. So it's like it's all very cute, and I liked it. It's not. I don't think it's. This is definitely not reinventing the wheel, right? This is something we've seen quite a bit of, and it's not a bad thing, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's the most original thing.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's. You know, once you kind of get to that point where like you're like, you know, you think you're going to be going through like the heaven door, and then you end up going through the not heaven door, whatever you want to call it. You just kind of realize, okay, I get the idea of kind of this game. But I do think that the way, you know, the story is not just told through like cutscenes or anything like that. I mean, you do have like dialogue boxes, but then you come across like different ghosts. And those ghosts also have like their own pictures, and you can actually kind of like see how they died basically and why they want to get to like the heaven or the palace, as they call it, side of things. Because there's like this magical mirror that like if you look into the mirror, you can like briefly enter like life again, and you can like, you know, no one there will see you, but you kind of like are able to like, you know, feel their feelings, you know, you just kind of get like a little taste of like life again, basically. So that's why everybody wants to get to the palace side of things. But yeah, as far as like the overall story, you know, it's not, not anything, you know, shocking, groundbreaking. Like Haunty was more, was a similar story, but I also found it like, a little bit more interesting because there were people in that game telling you, oh, you don't want to like ascend. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and so trying to figure out, well, why are they saying that? This game doesn't, it doesn't really have that. It's like everybody seems like they're on the same side here. Like, oh, yeah, we all want to get to the palace, you know. So, like I said, I didn't beat the game, so unsure of really how the story unravels. But it's definitely not anything that holds the game back. It's just nothing that's, super unique.
Yeah, but I will say something that is unique, I think, is the art. Sure. I think a lot of it takes some inspiration from other games, especially like the environments. But I think the character design is super cute, right? I think you kind of see this. I don't know what kind of style you would call it. Chibi-ish? No, it's not chibi.
Yeah,
but like a chibi-esque art style. But I really love the character design in this, and especially the enemy design, right? The enemy design, like, you can tell what the enemy wants to do to you.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really cool. And that's like a really fine touch that sometimes is not always there, right? And it's very helpful when you come across new enemies, because you're like, oh, this looks like it's going to do a spin attack against me if I get too close. This looks like it's going to shoot me with something. I need to keep that in mind when I approach this. And I think that's a really smart way to design characters and enemies in games. And then I like these cute little frogs that look like I could have drawn them. And the cat looks like I could have drawn it, but it's still well animated. And the way that Pluto, the main character here, moves through the world is so seamless. And it looks great. And it feels great as well. And I just really liked the way this game was animated. And I think, you know, maybe it's not the most original art style, but like the way it felt, especially throughout the gameplay, was a pretty unique experience that I think I've had, because this could have easily been very Paper Mario-esque, I think. Right,
yeah.
Based on the art style, and I didn't get that. It felt very fluid, almost like you would forget that it would even be Paper Mario-esque. So I enjoyed the art here.
Yeah, same here. I was actually looking into, because it's a solo dev, so I was trying to see like what his other projects were. And he actually had a game that came out around 2 years ago called Islets, Islets. I don't know how to say that properly, but similar art style. So it seems like this dev really likes that art style, and yeah, I like it as well. You know, it's simplistic, but it's also got like a good amount of detail to it. And yeah, the characters are kind of like paper-esque, but then the world itself is more like three-dimensional. And I just really enjoyed like the small details as well. Like, I like that the garbage you find in the world, it's not like really sticking out too much in the game, right? It's not like finding like a coin in Sonic, right? Or something like those sort of currencies that are just like easily identifiable. Like, sometimes I'd walk by trash, I'd be like, oh, like that, I can collect this, you know, like this is currency. So it kind of also is great because it just adds to like the world building, where it doesn't seem like totally out of place. And then even like small details, like when you're talking to different characters and like in the dialogue boxes, it's like highlighting, you know, these important people that you should know. And it's doing it in a way where like, you know, it's kind of got this like animated gradient on it. And then like the letters are kind of bouncing up and down. Like, it's just like really like child, you know, well, I don't want to like cute. It's very cute, not childish, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it reminded me of like Animal Crossing, kind of in the way, just the way the dialogue boxes were. But I always love when games, especially indie games, like highlight specific words. I feel like that's such like, you know, it's something from like Zelda, like the Zelda days, like old school Zelda, that they would do that. And it's just something that sometimes indie devs don't do. And I just appreciate when they do it, because it just makes the whole experience a little bit better. You start to remember things a little bit easier. Which is nice. And then, yeah, just in terms of like the environments, everything's kind of got like this like theme to it. Like, you go into like the shop in the game, it's all like kind of, you know, I don't know, neon and dark, and it's like this kind of club feel. There's like a VIP section you can't get into. And then you go out in the world, and it's like this like peaceful kind of world with just like some enemies, you know, but it's got like moss growing on stones, and like it's just a very good kind of like balance of like the way the art looks depending on where you are in the game. So I was a fan of the art style in the game. You know, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it, because like you mentioned, you know, you kind of almost get this Paper Mario feel when you're looking at like just the art, even if you were just watching videos on YouTube. But then as you're playing it, you realize like it's not, you know, the art isn't really like the main